So when we break chains in our life, change happens, right? Right? Anybody here this morning want a new thing for their life? Something new? More or less? Let's look at the book of Matthew this morning, and we're going to see that Jesus spoke about this when the Pharisees asked him why his disciples didn't fast. And Jesus' answer was that the bridegroom was with them. So certainly, why would you fast if the bridegroom was with you, right? Fasting has to do with mourning, or has to do with loss, has to do with being guilty and ashamed, because that's why people often fasted. When they wanted to change, they would fast. They'd stop what they were, they'd use food as the means, as a symbol of, if they stopped eating certain foods, that was showing God, I'm fasting. But see, we need to go beyond that in the symbolism of that and fast on much more important things, don't you think? Right? More or less? Right? And so Jesus said to them that anyone who puts a patch on an old garment with unshrunk cloth, for the patch shrinks and pulls away the old cloth, leaving an even bigger hole than before. In other words, you just can't patch things on your life. You understand? You can't take something new and try to put it on something old. Won't work, right? And he was really talking to the Pharisees about the old covenant of punishment and atonement and you know, just sacrificing animals and things of that nature. That was the old way. That was God's old way of allowing people to find redemption and atonement and forgiveness. And it wasn't really working to help people change, was it? Because the only thing that changed was the animal's life. And then that was it. The animal atoned, really, in a way. And I mean, the good part was the animal was used for food for people. So that was, you know, it wasn't just sacrificing animals for no good. It was to feed the people. However, the point is this. When you try to put something new on an old concept in your mind, if you try to start a new way of thinking or being or doing something with your life or in your life, the old stuff has to be put aside, doesn't it? Right? You can't put old on new. It doesn't work. Right? And you can always tell the difference, right? If you back when I was young, they did patch your clothes. And it really stuck out, if you ask me. I used to try to hide it with my hand so people didn't notice that it was patched up like that. Much like I try to hide some of the things about me I don't want you to see. A whole other symbolism there, right? And some of us do that, right? We don't always declare what's really true for us. We're ashamed, or we try to hold things back from other people. We suppress our feelings, right? Lest someone else would know about it. And then what would they do, right? And that's the old way too. Guilt and shame and causing people to feel bad about themselves as a way of controlling others. And the religious leaders were really good at that, those Pharisees. Thus the reason he asked, what do you guys, the Pharisees wanted to know why Jesus' disciples were so happy. What are you doing being happy? You're supposed to be sullen. You're supposed to put a sad look on your face. You're supposed to be fasting because of how awful you are. You see how the Pharisees came across that way? Why was Jesus' disciples always celebrating? Well, one, Jesus was with them. Secondly, they saw the miracles he had performed, right? So wouldn't you celebrate if you saw miracles all the time, right? If you saw people change and grow, wouldn't you be excited and like exhilarated by that? Wouldn't you smile and go, yay, awesome, this is wonderful. They changed, right? They used to be a certain way, and because of forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, death on the cross, he was the final atonement. He's the new covenant, right? A new covenant. Listen, the old way of thinking about your guilt and your shame has to be set aside. Do you understand what I'm saying? You no longer need to be punished for what you do wrong. Religions that teach that are really old school. We're supposed to be happy in the Lord, right? We've been redeemed, right? Right? We've been forgiven, right? So guess what? No need for punishment any longer. We can be celebratory. We can be happy. We can be joyous. We can move in full measure of God's great abundance gifts for us all, right? And we can enjoy that, right? Only if, only if you get rid of the old way of thinking, the old way of maybe what you were taught. We're unlearning you this morning, as I very often have to do in my ministry, is unlearn you from the old ways of the way God thinks and feels about you to the new truth of what God feels about you, right? And it says in the word here that you can't put new wine into old wineskins. And I think sometimes in ministry, sometimes if I preach a little long some Sundays, it's only so that I can open up more your old wineskins. And I'm trying to pour new wine in, right? But see, some of you are so stuffed up with so many beliefs about yourself. You're a wineskin, if you will. A wineskin is, you know, a bottle of wine, right? It was actually made of skin. And it would expand and contract in the heat as the wine was poured in. New wine especially was full of fervent and energy, right? And what it would happen is the wineskin would do what? Expand, right? Because of that. Listen, spiritually speaking, Jesus wasn't talking about wine, okay? What he was talking about was this. You and I are wineskins, correct? We're the temple of the living God, right? We are a wineskin. We're designed to do what? Expand, right? And when the new wine comes in, we do what? Expand, right? But here's the problem. When there's so much yuck in here, other stuff, you know what I'm talking about? Right? Resentments, guilt, fear, worry. What will people think? Things and hurts and pains and sorrows from our past, whatever's all in there, unresolved issues that some of us have. How much wine, new wine, can get poured in without us exploding? Right? Sometimes when things mount up, anybody here ever feel overwhelmed? Wow, what's going on with the room? I remember a great sermon about balloons once. Got to let some hot air, got to let the air out, right? You got to tell God your problems, right? You got to release those things, right? And empty yourself out, right? Okay, not preaching about that this morning, but just in case, we'll touch on a great sermon of the past for a moment. How could you be overwhelmed when God is your God? I can give you a reason why. You're not letting God be God. You're not living the principles that God teaches throughout his word about letting God take care of you, letting God perform the miracles, letting God carry you, letting God guide you, letting God direct you, letting God change and transform you, and letting God take out the old concepts and beliefs and stuff that you have and putting in some new ideas, some new beliefs, some new dreams, some new ideas that you can follow, right? Jesus upset the apple cart big time for religious leaders because he wasn't of the people of the old. He didn't just worship God, he was God. And what his worship was changing people's lives for the better, helping them change and grow, going into the cemetery and rising people up out of a place where they once were dead, spiritually and emotionally speaking, right? He was about aliveness, right? Rose Lazarus from the dead, right? Went and touched all those people and helped them find a new reason to be alive, a purpose for which they could exist and celebrate and enjoy their lives, right? More or less. In order for all of us to change and to grow and to go into the richness of God's blessings, we have to be willing this morning to understand that the old wine has to be what? Discarded. Thrown away. Flushed down the cistern. Right? Poured out. You see the reason Jesus poured out his blood? Do you understand the symbolism of all that? He poured out his blood for all humanity so that we could be washed clean. Right? And he poured out all those new laws. Remember those laws that used to, the old laws rather, the laws that you had to do this, do that, do this, or else. The God of or else. the god of stoning, which wasn't really God as much as it was the people. And we still do that today, don't we? In not in literal ways, but in judgmental ways sometimes, in our verbiages, right? In our conflicts with others, right? Someone does us wrong, what do? Stone them. Now, in order for this to transpire, all of you have to be willing, first of all, to dump out your old stuff. Now, I know it's hard to do that, right? Because in traditions and in rituals and in conditioning, we've been taught what we're supposed to do, right? And so what do? We don't even think about it. We do what we've been taught, right? Until Jesus walks into your life and says, no, that's not the way to do that. There's a new way, right? So first step for you is to be willing to toss out the old. Ready? Fleshity, exactly. All right, beautiful. Now, in order for... See, some of you are going to do that more or less, right? Right? Probably the less. We'll get to that in a second. Speaking of more or less, let's turn to John chapter 3. And in John chapter 3, verse 30, this is where John the Baptist had been baptizing people, telling the people that there's repentance for their sins, that if they were... go into the water and are baptized, what happens to the sins? They get washed away. So that's what water baptism is. And Jesus later in John 3 also tells Nicodemus that unless you're born again of the water, go in the water and start over as a new baby, right, in the symbolic way, you become a new person in Christ, born of the Spirit, not of the human person, right? Unless you're born again, you can't have eternal life in the enjoyment of who you are meant really to be, spiritually speaking. You understand what I'm saying there, right? So John talks about that, right? And John was baptizing people. Why do we continue to baptize? We want to give you new life. Every time you're baptized, anybody's baptized in the water in this church, whether it's through sprinkling water on it or putting water on them or they go into the water, we are symbolically doing what John the Baptist did and Jesus Christ did himself to wash away, get rid of the old wine, all the old stuff, and give you new life, right? Out with the old, in with the new, right? Awesome, more or less. Because here's what John, when the disciples were coming to Jesus, they were telling Jesus that John was baptizing more, that Jesus was baptizing, or more people were following him, rather, than they were following John. And what does John say? It says, I'm the bridegroom's friend, and I'm filled with joy at his success. That's what John the Baptist said. He knew who his role. He wasn't the bridegroom. Jesus is. He was just a guy pointing to him, right? Like we are, right? And he then says this in the verse 30, John 3:30. Jesus must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. Jesus must become more and more. I must become less and less. More or less. You see where more or less comes in this morning. Because I believe this for you in your life. We can take these biblical principles this morning that John was teaching us and what Jesus had prior taught the people that, first of all, we get rid of the old way of thinking, right? So we need less of that and we need more of the new, right? More of the New Testament teaches, correct? The new covenant, right? We also need less of ourselves. Don't turn on me. Less of ourselves. And more of God, right? Less me, more you. Less me, God, more you, right? And in so doing, we will have a more productive, wonderful, awesome life. Because, see, that's going to follow the teachings that Jesus showed. That, remember, what did he do? Died on the cross. Less of himself, more of us even, right? You see how he did that sacrifice? More of what God wanted, he was obedient to what God wanted, less of his own choosing. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't have chosen that death. But he did, because he wanted more for us, not less, right? He wants more people in the kingdom of God than less, right? Shouldn't we want the same for ourselves, right? When we look at examples throughout the scriptures, and I had another sermon actually thought of, and in that sermon was the story of Martha and Mary, but I thought it was about going to be about that, the message, but it's about this. But it really is kind of about that. Well, I'll tell you what this and that is. See, when Mary and Martha, Jesus was at their house, right? I'll tell you the story. And Martha was busy, getting ready to serve, right? She was cooking him dinner and gonna. She was all excited, but she was really ticked off at Mary, for Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. And Jesus was teaching her, right? And she yells at Jesus and says, "Tell Mary to help me. What's her problem?" And see, that's where more or less came from me. In my mind, God spoke that to me and said, you know, we need less running around scurrying, being busy, thinking you're doing something for God when your heart's not right and you're yelling at the people that are trying to worship with Jesus. We need less complaining and more just being with him, right? Later on, we see when in the book of John where after Lazarus was risen from the dead and right before Jesus' death, he's back at Mary Martha's house. And Martha served. But she doesn't say a thing the next time. I like that what's left out of the scripture in John. She wasn't the same Martha. Evidently, at some given point, she had really got the grip of, you know what, I need more of peace in my life than I need to worry about what the meal is. I need more of Jesus than myself, right? And worrying about things, correct? And what we see Mary do is she worships Jesus and anoints him for his death. And there's people that are there at that same dinner. We see that Judas is there wondering why she's wasting all that expensive perfume on Jesus. What is Judas? More about the money, less about worshiping Jesus, right? And then the Pharisees decide to kill Jesus in that moment, watching that transpire, that he would be worshiped as a god. And they made that decision at that moment, although God had already decided for Jesus' fate, right? But the Pharisees decide to kill Jesus. More jealousy than love, right? So in our lives, as we hear all this about these scriptures this morning, because I think they all tie together, we can see throughout scripture where each and every one of us need more and less of something, don't we? And see, for each and every one of us, it's going to be different, isn't it? Because some of us need more listening than talking. Some of us might could use that. Maybe just me. Okay. Some of us need more belief and less doubt. Some of us need more faith and less fear. Some of us need more trust in God than worry. Some of us need more compliments or giving compliments than complaining. Some of us need more forgiveness, less condemnation. And the list goes on. Some of us need more ice cream and less, oh no, oh, sorry. No. Some of us need more exercise and less ice cream. See, I got it right. I have been listening to the Body for Christ, folks. All of us need more God, right? More worship, more praise, right? I don't know what your more or less is, but I suggest to you this morning that maybe after we leave here and we go about our business and then you go home, I suggest that you really sit down and contemplate. Sit with God and say, God, what is it I need more of? More compassion? Less judging? More tolerance? Less prejudice? You know, the list can go on, right? More power? So contemplate that. I believe it can change your life dramatically. We've already known and believe and trust this morning that the old way of doing what you've been doing isn't going to work anymore, right? The new way is to let God in and let God expand you, expand your consciousness, your concepts of even you yourself, who you are in Christ. And you know what? Here's what happens. Even though it's less of me and more of God or Christ, that's a good thing, isn't it? Right? It might sound rough on your ego right now that doesn't want to hear that, but ego only stands for edging God out. Let's edge God in, right? So I challenge you, because you know I just love a challenge, and I also love a contest. Who's up for competition? All right, a few of you. Great, great, great. Who's willing this morning? Starts with willingness. Willing to really sit down and be still. All the hands go down. Okay. Oh, very good. Thank you. Okay, good. I'm trying to make sure of what you're committing to here. So you're going to sit down, be still, and ask God the question. What do you want more in my life, Lord? What more and what less? What less? And then you have that little list. And then you allow God through your prayer to pour in the more. It's okay to ask for more blessings. It's okay to ask for more abundance. It's okay to ask for more love. It's okay to ask for more acceptance. It's okay to ask for more forgiveness. It is okay. I promise you, it's in the Word here. It's okay to ask for that. And it's truly okay to say, and less of this other stuff, right? And for those of you that drive, now there's a good more or less, right? More tolerance, more patience. Less horn blowing. Less fist waving or whatever it is that you do. Let's take the example of beautiful, beautiful Martha. Amen. Who, although she was scurrying around in one part of the scripture story, she got it. She learned her lesson to be more like Mary when she sits at Jesus' feet and is taught. And then not only was she taught it, she then did it, right? So Martha became a little less Martha, a little more Mary, who both were wanting to be more like Jesus. That's who we all want to be, right? Of course it is. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, God, that you are so powerful and mighty, that you can change us all. You can set us free from the past, set us free from those old beliefs that no longer serve us, God. Help us cling on to those new truths that you love us all, that you sacrificed your life for us all so we could live more fully and do more for you, God, and less for just ourselves. Help us all be a service to all humankind, Let us make a difference in this world. Let us change lives for the better, because we do more for you and more for them and less for ourselves. May we give more, and may we, God, continue to serve more. And God, help us all to love more, criticize, condemn, or judge, or any of those awful things. Help us do those less and less and less, to the point where we do them no more. We ask that through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.